Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
William Carey University Athletics.
Every sport you find exciting.
Crusader Talk.
Crusader Talk.
This is Crusader Talk.
Crusader Talk.
We're covering everything William Carey University Athletics. From the field to the court and the diamond. On Super Talk Hattiesburg 97.3 and supertalkhattiesburg.com.
That exciting intro can mean only one thing. It's time for another edition of Crusader Talk. Glad to have you with us here on this episode. Caleb Hamill, Josh West, Will Tony with you, and we are happy to be back in studio. Man, we've had a couple good summer episodes lately. Got to talk to Ben Smith last episode. Patrick Lee was on a couple weeks back. Man, exciting stuff going on around William Carey alumni and even on campus in the future as well. It's been a good summer so far.
Yeah, and you know, I cannot believe it's July 4th week, which for some is almost like where they really feel like it's summer. But for most, they have like, I don't know, what would you say, 2 months of summer left or 2 months plus of summer left. And I know for my student at home, he's got 2.5 weeks of summer left.
Summer's a little different now.
A little bit different.
Doing year-round learning and all that stuff. But you say now is when it feels like summer. Now, if you've stepped outside in the last 2 weeks, felt like summer.
True. I don't try to step outside very often, to be honest, unless I'm golfing.
Oh, let me tell you, I was out with my family and a couple others in a Sunday school class, and we just stepped outside, and instantly you're sweating. It doesn't matter if you're under an overhang, if the fan is going. Doesn't matter. The minute you're out there, you walk into basically air the thickness of bread, and it's already like the bread just came out of the oven when it hits you in the face.
I think of Anna. Ooh, a sauna.
Right.
A little Frozen reference.
Yeah, I went to Disney World a couple of years ago, and when we were walking past Norway where you could meet Anna and Elsa, I was just like, if I run into Elsa, I'm going to ask her for my own personal flurry to keep me cold while I'm out here, because it was in the middle of May. Oh, I digress. Nevertheless, this is Crusader Talk, not your local Disney World podcast. But in order to talk about all things William Carey Athletics, sometimes we like to welcome in special guests into the room, and we thought, what guests on this episode would be appropriate as it's Independence Day week, if you want to call it that, and then bring on some of our Crusaders that were dubbed All-Americans at the end of the baseball and softball seasons. First of all, we are joined by third-team All-American pitcher for William Carey, Ryan Hornsby. Ryan, welcome to the program.
Hi, it's good to be here.
All right, so Ryan, you are a local product when it comes to softball, played at Oak Grove High School for a number of years. So it could be easy to see how Coach Fletcher could locate you and bring you into William Carey. But one thing that we always like to ask our athletes as they come onto the podcast was, how did you come to know about William Carey and what brought you here?
Well, I went to a lot of camps growing up to William Carey when Wendy Hoag was there. And then it just so happened that my high school pitching coach ended up going to coach at Carey, Coach Megan Bond. I took pitching lessons from her for years and years, and I just ended up going to Carey.
So, in kind of rolling back the clock a little bit, so you have Megan Bond teaching you the ropes of pitching at the high school level and on into college. What kind of made you realize that pitching was where your fit was on the softball diamond?
I just decided I wanted to do it. And then I never went back.
Was there ever that fear factor of you're the one closest to the plate and the comebackers are possibly the worst thing?
No, I was never scared of the ball. I just, no one else wanted to do it. So I stepped in.
See, it's easy for me to ask that because I was the kid when I was in first and second grade playing basketball that shielded my head when the rebound came my way. So easy to see a proper athlete was not afraid of a ball coming back to her.
Well, Ryan, for you this year, when I watched you play, and we were talking about this before we came into this on the year in this segment, you were that player that the team kind of rallied behind. They would kind of follow your lead with a start inside the circle. At times later in the year, on most games, at some point in that game, you would have the ball in your hands at some point. Talk about that role, how so early in your Kerry career, you've taken on that leadership role and been able to lead this team to the places that they expect to be, which is, you know, chasing championships, winning championships, and making a push to get in the World Series and win a World Series.
Yeah. I was excited for this year because I was excited to take on a bigger role. My freshman year, I learned a lot from Haley Nations. You know, she's All-American herself. And she was great to, you know, kind of be behind and learn from. So I learned from her that you have to go in there confident and just be yourself, and your team will rally behind you. So I really took that to heart and just tried my best every time and worked really hard. And my teammates saw that.
Yeah, and so now two seasons under your belt. I want to kind of walk through what it was like going from year one as a freshman. You mentioned, you know, being a pitcher along with Haley Nations that year, a year in which softball came up just short of appearing in the postseason. We were kind of on that edge and didn't quite make the cut. What was that like going from year one to year two? Now Haley Nations no longer in the picture, but also a lot of these returning players, yourself included, going into this year with higher expectations than what you left behind in the year before.
We had six seniors this year, and they played a huge part in the leadership of our team. We were all super disappointed my freshman year when we didn't make postseason. So we all decided, you know, in the fall when we got back after summer break, that we were going to work hard. And our team motto was From the Soul. And they talked about how we need to play from our soul and give it everything we have all the time. So those six seniors were the reason we went so far.
For you, though, to be that All-American, one of the faces of the program at the highest level in terms of nationally and regionally being one of the faces of the program, you talk about just how hard you work. I always think that your best player has to be your hardest worker on the team. Do you see that moving into the next 2 years, is there even another level that we're going to see from you as your teammates have to keep up with you chasing, you know, a World Series, chasing a national championship?
Oh, yeah. I've always worked hard, and I'm going to continue to work hard. I said coming in, you know, when I was in high school, I'm not very talented. I'm not a talented athlete, but my hard work's going to make up for it. And so I'm just going to keep working hard, keep pushing myself to be the best I can be, and keep pushing my teammates to be the best they can be so we can be the best team in the nation, hopefully.
So moving from that first year to the second year, obviously carry a huge improvement in your sophomore season. You helped carry this team onto a hosting spot in the NAIA. You bring in Jessup, which was just a firecracker of a team, a tough draw, really, for William Carey. We find out they make it all the way to the national title game, where they eventually fall to Our Lady. And they, how many losses did Our Lady have? Did they have any? One? Two?
They had some Division I losses. I mean, I think at one point in the year they might have had one loss, and it wasn't in the NAIA.
So you look back and you kind of have that what-if scenario. I mean, I know if ifs and buts and all that stuff, but if Carey has a different draw, you almost wonder how far would Carey have made it in that World Series in Columbus. In your estimations, Ryan, you feel like they would have made it pretty far.
Yeah, I like to think we would have made it far. We'd have been so excited. We'd have been so ready to play. And that's just something to work towards. I'm super excited for next season to work towards that.
Yeah, I was just hearing you talk and very humbly talk about your skill set. One of the things that I guess having that mentality of, okay, I've got to go out because I'm not this just overly, incredibly gifted athlete. You really know how to pitch it. You really know how to spin it. You throw a lot of different pitches. You mix a lot of different pitches. You keep hitters off balance. They're guessing up there. You keep them fooled a lot of times. And you mentioned the relationship that you've had now with your pitching coach, with Megan, for so many years. How has your game progressed even since your time at Kerry? Because you were so much more of a complete pitcher this year, I would say. And take us through that process.
Thank you. Working with Coach Megan has been great. She's helped me not just physically, but mentally. Freshman year, I kind of went out a little scared, didn't really know how I was going to do. And she just helped me over the course of the fall and the preseason, working up to this season, get my mentality right and go out there confident, knowing that I'm better or that I can be better than the team we're facing. So I just say my skill set I've had, but my mentality has shifted so much because of her.
You mentioned, though, you again, your words, you said, I'm not an incredible athlete, but you also just mentioned your skill set. Would you say that your position in the game of softball inside that circle is something that you can develop an elite skill, almost like a golfer, to where you have such an elite skill that you can be as dominant as anyone in the country at your position?
I would say so. I would say, you know, you work at it. You work the physical, you work the mental, you work the emotional, and it all will come together.
I like the sound of that. We're talking to Ryan Hornsby, pitcher for William Carey Softball, third-team All-American selection in the NAIA. We're going to continue talking with her for just a little bit more here on our All-American edition here for Independence Day week as we continue with more Crusader Talk next. Don't go anywhere.
You're listening to Crusader Talk on Super Talk Hattiesburg 97.3 and supertalkhattiesburg.com.
We continue on in Crusader Talk, our All-American edition, talking with Ryan Hornsby, William Carey softball pitcher. Great season for the Crusaders. Made it to the postseason, hosted Jessup, who ended up being the second-place finisher. Whole lot of improvement for Ryan Hornsby, if you can imagine that, how much she's gone from freshman to sophomore year, and the ceiling has not been reached yet. Ryan, I'm going to turn this over to Josh, because he got to see a lot of your ball games this year and see how much you have, how far you have come, I should say, throughout this season. A lot of pitchers we see oftentimes will go from having one to two pitches to adding a third pitch or something like that. Josh, what was kind of that feel that you had from what you saw Ryan Hornsby do this year?
Well, again, you could tell, Ryan, that you had developed. You could tell that your confidence was at a completely different level. I never thought there was at one time at any point throughout the year that you were rattled. You were bringing it to the batters. You were aggressive. You were attacking the hitters. Did not matter. I thought that we might tiptoe, so to speak, around some of those Jessup hitters, we being William Carey. That was not the case. So talk to the fans. We were talking again during the break about your development in your mix of pitches and how you grew as a pitcher in this offseason. And we were talking about, in particular, your drop ball, which my eyes weren't picking up on. And I was seeing more change up or off speed with that drop. But you can talk about the difference in the growth in those pitches.
Yeah. Over the season, we developed my drop ball a lot more. Freshman year, they were terrible. Sophomore year, so much better. That's mainly what we threw. My drop ball is a little slower than everything else, but it's a good change of speed, especially if my changeup's not working how it should be. We really worked on refining my pitches, because I came into college with all of my pitches. So we worked on refining and make sure I'm spinning it right, getting that good break on all of my pitches, but drop ball especially.
How many are you mixing now? How many different pitches are you mixing now?
About six.
Wow.
Again, so let's go back to the comment I made in the first segment, Caleb, of why the hitters are off balance. And would you say, I'm thinking that the drop ball would be more effective, because if you got a really, really good change, sometimes that you can leave that change up, it can just kind of float and you can get taken yard. But that drop ball has coming at you just a little bit more. It's enough of a change of pace to get you off balance or get weak contact. Am I right in that assessment?
Yes, yes.
All right, so favorite pitch. Is it that drop ball pitch now? Is that your favorite pitch?
It's not my favorite, okay, but it is a good one.
All right, what's your favorite?
My favorite is my curve. Breaks on that outside corner, runs away from righties, runs into lefties. That's always been my favorite.
And then for you to be able to mix that and with the progression you made, that big jump, freshman to sophomore year, where do you go now for an encore? Where do you go for that next step? Because it's only going to get better, is the expectation, is to continue to take this thing to another level. And your team, team ERA, right around 2 for the year, that is going to be leaned heavily on as this lineup has to gel early on. So many new faces, or faces that aren't new but are going to be in new roles in different spots in the lineup, are going to be get in a starter for the first time. Pitching is going to be key. There's going to be a lot of pressure inside this circle if you let it get to. I know you're not, but talk about where you go from an encore now.
I'm going to just go back to what I know. Go back to working hard, working in the off season, and just getting better. That's all I can do is work hard and get better.
I want to talk highlights from this year, get a chance for you to kind of shine a little bit here. I feel like one that goes, you know, star top of the chart as far as a highlight for you on the season was a no-hitter thrown against a conference opponent in Point. Tell us a little bit about what it was like for you being in that circle. 5-inning game, so you didn't have to go the full 7. Luckily, your offense helped you out a little bit there. But did you feel that pressure mounting at all as you were stepping in the circle into the bottom of that 5th inning?
I actually didn't know I had a no-hitter going.
No way!
Until I think that inning, my catcher told me, and I was like, why would you tell me?
Exactly. We don't even talk about it on the broadcast.
No.
Are we allowed to talk about it in the last inning?
See, I don't think so. And the season before, Ryan threw hers.
Talk about it until the last inning.
I think from a national perspective, I think people say, like, after in baseball, after a 7th, and probably softball, you have to wait to the last inning. But
so I think in a 5-inning
game, I don't think
so.
I think I would
have made,
as a home broadcast,
I think I would have made references such as, you know, I would have said something along the lines of Point still looking for their first hit. Hornsby, you know, pitching it well. I might have made a vague reference to the line, no runs, no hits through 4 for so and so. But never would I have uttered the words, right, no-hitter.
And say for perfect games, you could at least say they've retired 16 straight. You know, you could tally up that
subtle references. All right, so what was your very next thought after that? After you're like, why did you do that? You literally told her that, didn't you?
Yes.
Yeah, I knew it.
Yeah. I was just like, okay, go back out there and do what you've been doing. And it was just, thank goodness it worked out.
And the final out was a ball hit in play, by the way. So you see that pop up, and you're just like, somebody, please catch that thing. Somebody, please. And was it Kinley that
caught it? Brooke.
Brooke was playing over there. And she makes the catch, and Kerry wins it 9-0. But I can think back, and we'll pick on our friend Ben Milam. I've heard time and again how many times he mentioned no-hitter and ruined one for Haley Nations over the years. And luckily, when she played Stillman your freshman year, I was on the call for that one, and she actually got – she was a hit-by-pitch away from a perfect game, by the way.
So you didn't mention it.
No,
so
that was the only base runner Stillman's had in this game was a runner hit by a pitch.
So this was when Ben was very green. Ben's going to go back and listen to this.
Oh, I know. He always does.
So, right. So was this
– and he knows
was
it
this
too.
At the beginning of his broadcasting career? The steep ascent that he has been on?
It may have been his second year, but you could still consider it a bit of a green year.
But I would also say he just doesn't buy into that superstitious stuff.
No.
He doesn't buy into any of that. One of the most genuine people Ben Milam you will ever meet. So he just doesn't think anything of it because he doesn't buy into the superstition of it. We're going to go along with it for the fun of it. But those are great stories.
Yeah.
Those are great stories.
All right. One other thing I have to throw out there before we run out of time in this segment. Softball is kind of a game that garners a lot of support, especially from family and friends. I would consider it to be even louder than baseball at Milton Wheeler has been for the past few years.
Oh, sure.
You have great support here locally. Every time I go out to the ballpark, I see oftentimes your grandmother June and sometimes your grandpa Benny as well. They're church friends of ours, so I get to see them. We're always talking softball whenever we get to church on Wednesdays and Sundays. What's it like for you to have that support there in the stadium cheering you on, game in and game out?
Oh, it's everything. It's absolutely everything. If I did not have my family supporting me like they do, I wouldn't be nearly as good or as successful.
Speaking of support, was it your mom that took a foul ball off the top of the noggin?
Yes.
Was that one that you pitched or you hit?
I was pitching, and it was a foul ball, and it just ricocheted off
spins
seven
off the
walls.
Back of the wall and comes back. She's on like the second row. Takes it like a champ, does not even leave the stadium, and like two innings later, she's not even icing it down. She never left.
No.
Did she ever reference that? Was she not letting on that it hurt as much as it did?
Oh no, she like went down and then she didn't come back up because she didn't want me to see her, not knowing that I saw her go down, and then she never came back up. So I thought she like died.
I could see her. Happened. I knew she, it was not as bad as that. But I just couldn't believe that she just took it like a champ. I mean, it made it to the stream. We talked about it. But, I mean, what are the odds? She was literally in front of the net for safety. It ricochets off the back brick and comes back and catches
her. Those are the dangerous ones, the comebackers, regardless of stadium. If you have a tough wall at the back, they're going to come right
there. Do you apologize for that? Sorry, Mom.
I didn't.
It wasn't her fault.
It wasn't your fault.
Think about it.
You know, we all apologize for things that we really didn't do, and you're like, why am I apologizing? I didn't do anything wrong. I didn't know if it was just the like, I'm sorry. I didn't.
I've just got to ask, by the way, just talking about your grandparents. Any fun names for them growing up?
Ninny and Pawpaw.
Ninny and Pawpaw. Next time I see them, I have to say I heard about Ninny and Pawpaw and how much Ryan appreciates their support.
Ninny and Pawpaw are going to hear this interview, so
yeah. And in the future, they could find it on the William Carey app once that comes about. We talked to Ben Smith about that last episode. All right. Kind of running out of time here. And Ryan, thanks again for joining us. We kind of called you on short notice, and you still found a way to come in the studio. It was a great, fortunate set of circumstances. And I tell you, it has been a privilege already through two seasons to watch you perform out there on the diamond and in the circle. I look forward to a couple more from you.
Yeah, thank you.
All right, that is Ryan Hornsby, third-team All-American in 2024 for softball. And Josh, great American, Ryan Hornsby.
Yes, in the All-American edition. I love it. I'm excited. We need to use more alliteration like this whenever possible to connect some certain holidays and different things. I don't know. If we have a player that gets, if we have a Mary so-and-so that's, I don't know, Crusader of the Week during Merry Christmas or something, I don't know. I'm being silly, but we need to make it happen more.
Well, you know, we have the option to do whatever we want to with this podcast because we have independence.
Ooh, I like that.
There it is. I like it. All right. Coming up next, we're going to talk to John Snyder of William Carey Baseball. Stay tuned.
You're tuned in to Crusader Talk on Super Talk Hattiesburg 97.3 and supertalkhattiesburg.com.
Back with you on Crusader Talk. Enjoyed a conversation with Ryan Hornsby of William Carey Softball in the last two segments. If you missed that, you can catch us on demand in podcast form if you're not already listening to us in podcast form. Wherever you get podcasts, whether that's Spotify, Apple Podcasts, supertalk.fm, or through careyathletics.com, there's no reason you cannot stay tuned in to Crusader Talk. Just search for Crusader Talk in your favorite podcasting app.
I even listened when I was on vacation a few weeks ago.
There you go.
I did.
The loyal listener. Hey, by the way, it was fun to have Dalton Stanford in studio because he's a Carey guy as well.
He is.
So, I mean, what better group to have on than, you know, Will Tony and Dalton Stanford?
Well, Dalton knows what he's doing. I had no qualms about, you know, getting him to fill in. No problem.
Yeah. All right. So in keeping theme with the show is, you know, we tried to use puns to get ourselves out of that last segment. All right. Independence Day week episode of Crusader Talk. Let's just call it what it is. It's the All-American feature episode. Ryan Hornsby, third team All-American selection in softball. Now we get to talk to the guy that was making headlines throughout the year. John Snyder, second team All-America selection for the NAIA, joins us on the phone. John, how are you?
I'm doing good.
Good. Glad to have you on. All right. So first of all, John, I have gotten to see you pitch a number of games, and it's almost like that dramatic music may be playing in the background. I'm not saying you had a dramatic walkout song or anything, but you almost felt like there was a mood shift in the air anytime you left the bullpen to come into a game where Kerry had a narrow margin lead. I've never seen a guy as rock solid as you when it came into closing a ball game. And you can take that fully as a compliment and run with it, but I just wanted to know, what's it like for you as a guy, nerve-wise, whenever you come into a close ball game like that?
Honestly, you just got to get the job done. Like, it's just one thing to do, you just got to do it.
It's simple as that.
Like, it's just simple. You got to make it simple.
Well, hey, John, you also had a really good mind for pitch selection and really had a nasty fastball. What were kind of your key pitches, and what was your favorite sequence of things to try to get hitters out on strikeouts?
I'll be honest, it was just a fastball.
It's just like fastball.
It was just throw the fastball outside, and that's what I do.
Yeah, throw the ball where they can't hit it.
All I could think of when he said that was chicks dig the fastball, man.
They do.
Chicks dig the fastball. Hey, John, this is Josh.
They love the fastball.
They love the fastball. John, this is Josh West, man. I've had a chance to follow you at a distance this year, and we were talking to Ryan Hornsby in the last segment. Ryan talked about a particular situation where she had a no-hitter on the line, and her catcher comes up to her and says, "Hey, just want to let you know, you've got a no-hitter going." And she's like, "Why would you tell me that?" And yet she went out and threw the no-hitter. So my question to you is this. Do you kind of peek up as you're walking out at the scoreboard? Are you looking at the guys on base? Or are you tunnel vision? Are you trying to treat it pitch by pitch? And are you kind of just zoning out and focusing in on that immediate, like you said, that one thing to do, go get the job done? Or do you have a sense of the moment and the big picture of the moment you're walking into?
I just focused on the batter, and that was about it. Like, if they get on third, they get on third. I mean, they still got 90 more feet. So just try to strike them out. Try to make them ground out, pop out, do something.
I love that.
It's a simple mentality, but it's an effective one for John Snyder. John, I know you know your stats, but the people at home probably didn't. 13 saves this season for William Carey, second most in the NAIA. You just didn't have that save opportunity when we were up there in Lewiston. Had a chance to tie a fellow by the last name of Pike over at Oklahoma City if you would have gotten that chance over there in the World Series. But all in all, a terrific season, a great career at William Carey. What's it like for you to hold that record for career saves as a Crusader?
It feels pretty good. I honestly didn't see it coming until, like, they wouldn't tell me until, like, the game of.
And remind me, what game was that? Do you remember offhand?
I think Point.
That was pretty early in the year.
Yeah, it was the first conference game, I'm pretty sure.
Now, here's my question about that, John. Did they tell you before you went out to pitch or after you finished pitching?
No, they kept on telling me I was tying it.
I like that. Just try to keep it in him in the mindset. Okay, you know, you can reach the tie, but then all of a sudden, be like, "Hey, man, you actually broke it already." The pressure's off. Man, I think about that, and I correlate it to Coach Bobby Holford when he was trying to reach not his 1300th. He did that in Lewiston, but when he was trying to reach that 1200th win, it was an interesting thing because he could not get that done at home. Like he missed out on two different games before he finally got it in like a midweek game on the road or something. So I think because he knew, he didn't have that luxury that you did of not knowing until after the fact. And I think your team did you a favor by holding the cards close to the chest.
Oh, yeah, they definitely did.
All right. So I'm going to go to Lewiston with this question. We got to experience a meal or two with the team. What was your favorite meal as we were out there in Lewiston? Because I have to ask you a question about one of them if this is not the answer you give me.
It's that burger shack on the hill.
Waffles and More?
No.
No, which one was
that? That was one of them. That was one of them. But the lunch was that, I can't remember the name of it. But it's up there on the hill.
I got you.
You can walk from it from the hotel.
Yes. Okay. Yeah. I can't remember its name either. All right. So I'm going to ask you about waffles and more. So my wife and I are sitting there at the restaurant just chatting it up with Ty Little and Bobby McGee and Chris Jones. And we look over to our left. And you're sitting with Jake and Luke Lissette as well as Brady Logan. And all of a sudden comes out your tray, and it is a giant plate of waffles. Keep in mind, this is a pregame meal, Josh. A giant waffle plate at lunch, topped with ice cream and all kinds of other stuff.
He's already laughing, by the way.
Was that what you had in mind for a pregame meal when you ordered it, or did you even know what was going to come out of the kitchen?
Oh, absolutely.
You knew you were going to have ice cream for lunch.
Yeah. Might as well.
When in Idaho, right? Isn't that right, John? Is that the saying goes? Not when in Rome, but when in Idaho?
When in
ice
Idaho,
cream for lunch.
No, when in Idaho, you eat potatoes. It's not ice cream for lunch.
See, the conversation at the table, John, and you didn't know this, but we were saying, boy, if he comes out there in a safe situation and gets us the win, that means he's going to have to eat that every single pregame meal. Were you prepared?
He was prepared.
Oh, no.
Okay. Truth comes
that
out.
That was just a one-time thing, I guess.
Oh, goodness. We're talking to John Snyder, a closer for William Carey, not just in 2024, but many years.
Can I ask one follow-up to that?
Oh, sure.
John, does this now affect your future big game, pregame meals, knowing that you might have to carry on that meal for a week, week and a half, throughout an entire extended series?
Nah. I don't think I'm gonna eat that anymore.
Kind of, it felt a little heavy on the stomach.
Oh yeah, it was very heavy.
Sounds to me like a lesson was learned.
Yeah. Hey, yeah. Wisdom.
Teachable
now.
Moment.
Yep.
All right, I'm gonna treat you the same way I did Ryan, but I'm gonna turn back the clock now and talk about in your high school playing days, what it was like for you to one find out about William Carey and then get convinced to come here and perform as a pitcher. What was that process for you?
I'll be honest. I thought I was just coming up there to just throw a bullpen. I didn't think I was signing that day.
Really? You had no expectations?
Yeah.
So who was the one that did a majority of the talking and convincing?
Oh, Coach Alford.
Oh, yeah. So you come up there. You're just going out there to throw a bullpen. All of a sudden, what clicked with you to make you realize that this is where you wanted to end up?
Ooh. Yeah, I'll be honest. I just went out on a limb and just said, let's try it out.
So you said, let's ride, and just kind of took the ebbs and flows of the seasons that came by. And little did you know, you would become an icon as far as the history books at William Carey. What I'm getting, Josh, is that John is an easygoing guy. He takes life as it comes and just lets the chips fall where they may.
Well, just the trust of it. And when you look back on it now and you look at how storybook it has been in a sense, could you have ever in your wildest dreams imagined the type of run you've been on throughout your career at William Carey?
It's been a good run. I will say that. It's been a great one.
Biggest memory that jumps out, like the biggest memory of your time there. Was it a bus ride? Was it a particular game? Was it a particular
beating
inning?
Southeastern, even though I didn't even play in it.
Nice. Yeah, that would be a big one.
Yeah.
Were they ranked at the top at that time?
They were.
Yeah, they had been, I believe they were the defending national champions coming into that season, and when William Carey got that win, I mean, it was huge. That wasn't the game where Patrick Lee made the diving catch at the end, but that was a game where A.J. Stinson completely showed out.
46 pitches.
Yeah, it's a feat of strength that I don't know that we'll ever see again in the college game. What about a game where you pitched, John?
The Middle Georgia Conference. That was a good one.
Yeah. That was a pretty good one there.
The second one.
Yes. Nothing to do with that first set. Golly, there's football scores during the regular season with Middle Georgia State. Well, I got to kind of wrap up with this. We've got about a minute left. And as you look back at your career at William Carey, how do you feel like this prepared you for what's coming ahead and just your general life?
Just keep it simple. Like, it's just kind of like a game. You just got to keep it simple and then go with it as it comes. Your plan is not your original plan. It never is.
Yeah,
it's wise like, words.
It seems like that was the case for you in recruiting. It's been the case and what's carried you on through a terrific career at William Carey. John, congratulations on your selection as a second-team All-American. Hey, also forgot to mention, congrats on being NAIA Ball's relief pitcher of the year. That's a fun honor to have as well. 13 saves on the season with a 1.20 ERA, 30 innings in 2024. John, great season, great career. Our thanks to you for joining us, and it's been a privilege to watch you as a Crusader.
Thank you. It was a pleasure.
All right, that is John Snyder, relief pitcher for William Carey, an All-American in the NAIA in 2024. We'll be right back.
Talking everything William Carey University Athletics. This is Crusader Talk on Super Talk Hattiesburg 97.3 and supertalkhattiesburg.com.
Final segment with you here on Crusader Talk. Man, been a good one. Talking to Ryan Hornsby and John Snyder. You rarely get to hear from the athletes unless you're out there at the ballpark and get to catch up with them afterwards or have friendly family connections, anything like that. It's fun.
I'll say this. I have a new breakfast item that I'm going to try.
And ice cream waffles.
Waffles and ice cream.
Is next year year three? When does that officially start? When will year three start?
For Crusader Talk?
Does that start with the first August 1st? When does that officially start?
No, it actually premiered in March.
Yeah, I was about to say, it was a March date.
It premiered first week of March, so we are...
In year three?
We are in year two.
Okay, so, oh gosh, got to go all the way to March to get to year three?
No, I think we're in year three. I think we are in year three.
Well, I'm voting.
Because Josh has been here for a full year now.
Right? Sure. Yeah.
And Ben and I did it for
almost a year.
I believe a year. We'll have to go back and look at that.
The point of that comment was to say this. More player interviews.
Yes.
Yeah. Lots more player interviews. Hearing from the players.
Either we need to get some post-game interviews recorded and play them back more. But that's an option. I'm kind of like you. I like this format of like Ryan Hornsby having her in studio.
We may be in year three now that I think about it. Because I think, yeah.
Well, what's interesting is Crusader Talk in its current format is younger than Crusader Talk as a whole. Because before we started coming in studio to do this, Ben used to periodically record interviews with coaches on campus. And that was published also under the heading Crusader Talk just before it became what it is today.
But as far as a Super Talk podcast.
Yeah, as far as a Super Talk podcast, we're I believe in year three.
I think we are in year three now that I think about it.
Yeah. But like you said, Josh, kind of hopping back and forth between conversations right here. We need to have more of these type interviews because I feel like this is what I have enjoyed most. And I feel like the listener enjoys most are not just us and our recapping of games. They could listen back to the game or look at the article that the staff wrote to figure out what happened in the previous week. We want that inside scoop. We want to hear what's going on with the person on the court, on the field, in the arena.
Well, there's so many compelling storylines. Just the ceilings of some of these athletes from the Olympics to international soccer to now into professional baseball. I mean, the stories are just getting better and better and better. And also kind of the where are they now segments that we did essentially with Patrick Lee. That's huge. Those are the things I know I want to hear.
So cool to see how quickly he's progressing. You know, going from playing in the Frontier League at Evansville to, you know, low A, now high A.
But what I've also enjoyed is not only seeing how the athletic department is growing, but how the university as a whole is growing.
Yeah,
it's been time.
Over the last 3 years. Yeah, I mean, it's been a huge difference.
Have you seen the Traditions Camp? Every time I pass the Traditions Campus.
I drove by it maybe 6 months ago.
It's gorgeous. Gorgeous, right there on the bypass headed to Biloxi. And the Gulf Coast is just, it's just waiting for somebody to completely take it over.
Yeah.
They completely take it over, and William Carey, as much as anything,
yeah,
can do that, or is primed to do that.
Mm-hmm. So, in some ways, we talk about how athletics is growing the university, and in other ways, the university as a whole is growing, whether it is the Tradition Campus or here in Hattiesburg. And oftentimes we just harp on athletics, but we forget there's an academic side.
Absolutely.
And we have to congratulate, you know, several athletes that were recently named to the President's List and Dean's List. 37 athletes made the President's List for William Carey. He had 4 baseball players. He had 1 beach volleyball player, 2 cross-country athletes, 1 from men's soccer, 6 from softball. They tied for the lead of the different athletics teams with 6. That was tied for most. Tennis as a whole, both male and female together, had 4. Track had 2. Volleyball, indoor volleyball, that is, with 3. Women's basketball, the other team that had 6. 5 selections for women's golf, 3 for women's soccer. And congratulations to all those athletes, and a big round of players as well made the Dean's List. That total was 17 different athletes reached that mark. So, Josh, as we kind of put a wrap up on this All-American episode, I just want to kind of, you know, throw the athletics thing out the window for just a second. What is one of your favorite memories of Independence Day in years gone by?
Watching the Boston Pops, watching the fireworks in the Boston Pops. Now, my dad has memories of being up in the Northeast and actually being able to take part of that live, but hearing the overture, seeing John Williams, seeing the Boston Pops, seeing the fireworks, that's my favorite. I love a live orchestra. There's nothing better than the Boston Pops. And then, of course, you're barbecuing. You're out doing all of the things that go along with the 4th, slicing up watermelon, homemade ice cream, just all of the traditions. But, man, are we so fortunate to live here.
I think mine has to be the old barbecue chicken and the homemade barbecue sauce one of my family members used to make at the reunion. That'll do it for us on this Independence Day week edition of Crusader Talk. Catch us in podcast form or live next time, Monday nights at 7. Until next time, I'm Caleb Hamill. He's Josh West. Good night, God bless, and go Saders.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.